City Sport.
Red and blue banter and debate. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
A very warm welcome from the top of the tower in the heart of Liverpool on a beautiful summer's evening in the city centre. Alan Irwin with you. Steve Hothersall has absconded. He's disappeared. And I'm in for the next few nights in the Radio City Tower with the Legends. And Aldo's also had two shows and decided he's had enough. So he's been replaced by the wonderful Gary Gillespie, who's in alongside the omnipresent Graham Sharp, the ubiquitous Graham Sharp, here, there and everywhere.
I don't know where you got a beautiful night. It's been lashing at him. Where did you get that from?
Just a hint of sarcasm.
The reliable Graham Sharp.
Yeah, the reliable. That's the
unlike, one. Unlike ever reliable Graham Sharp. We should be in for a great show because we've got plenty to talk about. We've got a great weekend to look forward to. We've got Everton against Manchester City on Sunday. Liverpool have to wait until Monday again as they face Arsenal in a tricky one down at the Emirates. And we've also got a good weekend to look back on, I suppose. Results for both of our clubs. Mm-hmm. Liverpool beating Bournemouth Monday night and Everton with that great win at Southampton, which you obviously talked about on Monday, Graham. But
we've got to talk about the Liverpool game and the fact that already, not just Liverpool, we're in the season, what, two games in? And we're talking about offsides already. Two, and the clubs are all mentioned, are all told this is the new rules. First instance, refereeing lines and get it wrong. Scandalous. I've said it all the time, you in commentary. We talk year upon year about how well the Premier League and it's improving and everything else. And the only thing it isn't is the officials.
Well, exactly. I think there's no getting away from it. Like, I think the most ardent Liverpool supporters or fans would say, you know, it should have been offside without any shadow of a doubt. I don't know why everybody tries to complicate things. You know, I think referees have got a hard enough job as it is. Try and make it a little bit easier for them, a little bit simpler, especially linesmen as well, or referees assistants. I mean, there's a prime example. Why call them referees assistants and change them from linesmen? But they clearly got it wrong. It should have been chopped off. The Elphick goal as well was debatable, I must admit. I think Liverpool maybe got a little bit fortunate there. But, you know, sometimes, and we're only two games into the season, sometimes they'll go for you and sometimes they'll go against you. And I'm sure throughout the season that Liverpool will get decisions that certainly will go against them. But they had two that went for them on Monday night.
Has it been made worse this afternoon with the Premier League coming out and stating that they've written to every club stating that that goal should have been disallowed?
But why do they have to do that? Everybody knows it is. They've had meetings with the clubs before the season started and said these are the new rules. So why do they have to write to them and say that goal should have stood? Or shouldn't have stood, sorry. Crazy, absolutely crazy.
How will Eddie Howe be feeling?
Well, I think it's, I mean, as I say, we're very early into the new season, but he could look back at that and think, well, you know, if they get relegated by 2 points or 3 points or whatever it might be, you know, then they might look back at that and think, well, there was your decision that cost us a Premier League position for next season.
Yeah, they did okay. You know, we talked about it before the game and going in there, and I thought Liverpool would win convincingly. You know, maybe two or three goals, but all credit to Bournemouth. Yeah. They came in there and they did really, really well.
I think the one concern about Bournemouth is they looked a little bit toothless. You know, up to the 18-yard box, they had a lot of good possession and threatened, but without really looking that dangerous to break down Liverpool and score a goal. And that will, I think, come back and haunt them in a Premier League where you need somebody to score goals for you.
Yeah, Sylvain Distan's still sitting on the bench for them as well, Graham.
Well, yeah, I thought Sylvain might have been involved. A little bit of experience, you know, especially having played in Anfield in numerous occasions. But no, he's showed faith in the two boys that got him promoted. You know, listen, they will find it difficult. You know, I think they will find it difficult in terms of keeping out Premiership centre-forwards and attacking players. I think Sylvain will get in there sooner rather than later. But you can't take anything away from the lads that played. I thought they did ever so well. And on another night, they could have got something. But fantastic to see the support as well. On a Monday night, on a crazy kick-off time, that the Bournemouth fans came up in numbers and fair play to them.
I think the TV companies know that will happen anyway. As soon as they choose the game, they know that Bournemouth's first away game, the fans are going to travel on, no matter where or when the kick-off time is taken.
Well, listen, it's all new for them. And what a place to come. I mean, that's why you want to be in the Premier League. You want to come to big grounds like, obviously, Goodison and Anfield and, you know, Old Trafford and places like that. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, the excitement and the enthusiasm. That's why it's sometimes probably more more often than not, it's more difficult to play these sort of promoted sides when they've just come into the Premier League or come into a new league where everything's fresh, everything's new, the enthusiasm's there, the adrenaline's flowing, both from the supporters and from like the players. And I think you could sense that like on Monday night, that there was that excitement, that enthusiasm, even an expectation that they could possibly get some at Anfield. And they weren't that far away from actually achieving that goal.
So two 1-0 wins as far as Liverpool are concerned. What's your early assessment, Gary? We haven't had a chance to ask your opinion as yet.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, two wins is fantastic. I think when you know, there'll be stiffer tasks ahead. I think you just need to look at the game on Monday night against Arsenal down at the Emirates. But, you know, it's as good as Liverpool could do. And sometimes, and we talk about it on a regular basis throughout the season, that, you know, when the top teams win and sometimes they win ugly, that's a sign of a good side. And I think Liverpool, if you go back 2 years when they had that that really good season, they started that season off poorly. And there wasn't really great performances. They were like edging the games, maybe 2-1, certainly 1-0 on numerous occasions. Sturridge was certainly popping up and getting his fair share of goals there. So maybe that's a good omen for Liverpool. But they will have to get better, and I'm sure like, they understand that they'll have to get better if they're going to do something.
Is it ironic that Liverpool have had two clean sheets? Because during the close season, all the Liverpool fans I spoke to were saying, really strengthening midfield and forward positions, but really it's the defence that needs looking at.
Oh, you're two games in. You're two games in.
Too early to assess.
It's far too early. You're two games in. You look at Everton, first game of the season, Watford 2-2, all doom and gloom. Go down to Southampton, win 3-0, everybody's on the up again. But you look at the fans as well. You know, you've just got to give people time. I'm listening to Manchester United fans slating Wayne Rooney now. You know, he's not a number nine. He's never been a centre forward. Two games in, or three games in, whatever he's had. It's crazy. It takes you a while. It's very rarely you hit the ground running. From pre-season, you got in the first game of the season, you hit the ground running. Usually takes you three or four games to get into the stride, into your own stride. So it's far too early to be judging players, definitely.
Okay, as far as Liverpool are concerned, Sacco has been the subject of possibly one or two bids from abroad, Gary. Liverpool can't afford to let him go, can they, given the defensive cover?
Well, they seem to have crushed that pretty soon. They've offered him a new five-year contract, I believe, that he probably will sign. I think he's still very much in the plans. I think when you look at Liverpool, they've got, at this moment in time, they've got Skirtle and they've got Lovren. Much has been made about Lovren's performances, certainly last season. He looked a little bit edgy, he looked a little bit nervous. I thought he was just trying a little bit too hard for me, to be honest with you. I think he just needs to settle down a wee bit. I think he'll be okay. But I still think, you know, Sacco has got a big part to play. As awkward and ungainly as he kind of looks at times, he always seems to get the job done. And again, that for me is a sign of a decent player. Defensively, he's very strong at times. You know, in the air, he's powerful. So I think he's got a massive part to play, and that would suggest that if the football club are offering him a five-year contract, they obviously believe that as well. And you've got young Elory, I noticed, played in the under-21 game against Everton during the week there. So you've got quite a few players in there that can cover as well. So defensively, I think it's always a good thing when you start the season, a new season with two clean sheets. But as I say, there'll be tougher tasks ahead.
Starting on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Against a decent Arsenal side. Yeah. I know they've they lost at West Ham, but you know, we haven't seen them in pre-season in Singapore. I think they're going to go quite close. I think they've got a strong side. It's a quick side as well, you know, especially in that final third. They've got some really, really potent attacking players. So that'll be a tough test for Liverpool down there.
There's been some big talking points as far as today is concerned. We've already touched on Christian Benteke and the Premier League, right into clubs, trying to reiterate the rule that everybody already knew about. The Stones situation at Everton again is a big talking point. I suppose it will be until the 1st of September draws to a close. What's the latest from your perspective? We've heard Roberto Martinez today saying that he's only interested in the visit to Man City, and he hasn't put in a written transfer.
Well, it's request. Right. It won't go away. You know, it won't go away. You know, they've been in twice before, and then they come in with a third. I think it's supposed to be 30. But, you know, Everton don't want to sell. They've issued that and they've stated that. And we've said all along, the only person that can make it happen is the player. You know, if the player comes in and says, listen, I'm not happy here, I think I need to go, then you can't afford to keep an unhappy player. So the person who will determine the outcome of this situation will be John Stones. You know, of course, everybody at Everton wants him to stay. You know, he's a fantastic player. We think that You know, he's got many years ahead of him. He goes to Chelsea. I've said it in this programme before. If he goes to Chelsea, is he going to play every game? I don't think he is. You know, he might get the odd game in the Carling Cup. You know, they've got the boy Zuma down there as well as Cahill and Terry. So, you know, be fighting for a position. I think for Johns, it'll be more beneficial for Johns' career if he plays every week. Mm. Now, if that's Chelsea or Everton, I don't think it'll be at Chelsea. It'll be at Everton. So for us, we want him to stay. We're desperate for him to stay. And he's the only person that can make that decision.
I feel sorry for the lad, too, but he's caught between a rock and a hard place, and it's a massive decision that he's got to make. I totally agree with what Graham said there. I think for his own benefit, I think at least another year, maybe two years at Everton, when you're playing regular, you're playing in the Premier League. But listen, we're in a realistically, we're in a world, and certainly a world of football where money talks. Mm. And if Chelsea come in with a bid, maybe a stupid bid, I've been reading the papers, like it could even go up to 40 million quid that they're going to ask, or they're going to offer. It's a tough one, and if it goes to 40, I think it's a tough one for Everton to turn down as well, to be honest with you. Noticeable that they're looking elsewhere as well, a couple of centre-backs coming in.
Yeah, so we'll talk about those. Do you rate John Stones as an ex-centre-back yourself?
I think he's got all the attributes of being a modern-day footballer. I think when you look at him, he's comfortable in possession, his distribution is good, he looks he can pass it, he's decent under pressure. Defensively he looks quite solid as well. He's got the ability to play as a fullback as much as a centre-back as well, albeit I still think centre-back's probably his best position. But he has Chelsea don't make a bid of 30 million if he's not a good player. He's a good player, the kid, but he's got a big decision to make.
Exactly. The big thing as well with it, the England internationals in the summer, you know, the Euros to look forward to, you know, does he want to go and sit and not play at Chelsea? You know, he's an England international now, and you're thinking, no, he's going to start, you know, for England. He's got more chance of starting if he's playing regularly, you know, so why? And listen, I know people say Champions League and Chelsea involving the title and everything else, but sometimes you've got to sit down with the bigger picture, you know, and I keep mentioning it, Jack Rodwell, Franny Jeffers, all think the grass is greener. Yeah, Arsenal, great. Franny was never going to get in front of Henri, Bergkamp, everybody else. Rodwell was never going to get in front of the midfield players that were at Manchester City. So sometimes you need to sit back, listen to the advice and say, what's best for me? And for me personally, if I was advising John, I would say another year or two.
The Champions League lure or attraction is only that if you're actually playing. If you're not playing indeed. In the Champions League, what's the point?
Yeah, indeed. Well, Roberto Martinez has held his press conference this morning. He was obviously asked the question about Stones, but he tried to avoid it in every instance.
I think the latest situation is going to be exactly the same. I think that's been the topic or the hot topic of this transfer window. And I believe that's going to be a subject that you're going to highlight in every day that we're involved in this transfer window. From us, it's just the focus now is the games. The focus is Manchester City at the weekend. That, in my eyes, is probably the sharpest team in the league, or the team that started the league in the best possible way. And our focus goes to prepare those games as well as we can. So any individual matters, of course, we're trying to work as hard as we can to get a couple of new additions to the squad. But even those is not something that we're going to come out and talk about it, because the only thing we need to be focusing is preparing the game at the weekend, and it's exactly the same in any sort of players that they attracted some interest from other clubs, which is something natural, is something positive, and nothing to comment.
A transfer request though would be quite a significant development. You're not aware of
that? Not at all, no. It's not an area that we need to concentrate on. What we need to concentrate is that in 48 hours we're going to play the team that they are top of the league, and that's the only thing that it matters.
The only thing that matters, according to Roberto Martinez. Is John Stones the type of player who would put a transfer request in, Graham?
Who knows?
I don't really think it's much to do with the player. No, I think it's who's involved around him.
He's advising. He's a smashing kid. A real, real, genuine top-draw lad. Wants to play football, and as you say, whether he's getting advice, I know he'd be speaking to his parents as well and his agent and everything else. As Gary says here, I don't think it would be John's choice, you know, to put a transfer, but you never know. But it's getting a bit boring now. That's the only question that the gaffer gets all the time is what about John Stones?
Right, so
It's your press true. Lads, then.
Well, I had to ask it myself last week. It was Peter Stevenson asking the questions this morning. You mentioned Franny Jeffers there, which was pleasing on the ear, because there was some horrible, vicious rumours circulating last night. I don't know how these rumours start, but the rumour going around was that, unfortunately, he passed away, which obviously isn't the case. We saw a picture of him with Darren Griffiths this morning posted on Everton's website.
Who makes these things up? Is this Twitter and all that? What is going on?
I'm very unsure. But,
are you on Twitter?
I am, but I don't do things like that. Yeah, yeah.
That is a bit sick, isn't it?
It is. We can categorically tell you he's alive and well because he's on the show tomorrow with Saint and Snods as well. So we'll
maybe feel a little bit unwell after that, right enough.
Yeah, that won't do.
You need to lie down after that.
Right, back to Liverpool, Gary. Benteke, we've touched on. Big player for Liverpool. He's got to be a big player for Liverpool this season, hasn't he?
Oh, massive. I've only seen him, I watched him against Swindon and obviously like the couple of league games. He looks a threat. I think he's one of these players that can occupy not just the two centre-backs, but the whole of the back four. He has a presence. It's noticeable that Liverpool have changed slightly in the way they want to play. They get the ball a little bit more direct to him now and again, which I think is a good thing for Liverpool. I think sometimes we can get too bogged down and pass. And I think he gives you that option to... He's a get-out ball. But he's got an eye for a goal. His record speaks, you know, volumes for it. Mm. And he will score goals. And it will be vitally important that he does score goals. If Liverpool have got any aspirations or any chance of getting into the top four... Mm. You have to have Benteke scoring about 20 goals this season. Mm. But I think he's got the capability. He's a big fella. He's a big presence. Mm. But he can play as well. I think what surprised me from what I've seen so far is his link-up play.
Yeah, good
not just the whole... He's holding up the ball, which I think he's very good at. But, you know, laying it off and bringing it in. Mm. And not just doing that, but going... When he's done that, don't rest on your laurels. Mm. Get in behind. Go for the next one. Go for the second ball. Go for the third ball. And I think he's got a real appetite as well, which I think is a good thing.
I thought that was you talking for a minute there, Graham. We can get bogged down. Pass. Gary said.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm looking at Liverpool are becoming more like a long ball team. No. Andy Carroll, Ricky Lambert, and now Benteke. So what does that tell you?
That's how you got all your success in the 80s. They just banged it up to you. Got a free kick. She'd like come and put it in the top corner.
Right. Well, these two debate their own playing careers going back in time. We will take a quick break here on the Legends.
Call the Legends now. 1-4-7-2-0-9-6-7. The Legends with Aldo and Sharvey. Radio City Sport.
Coleman on the right edge of the 18-yard box, trying to get the better of Kolarov. Pulls it back for Osman, who shoots left-footed.
Yes!
What a goal from the left foot of the Everton skipper on his 300th start for the Blues. It's an absolute screamer from Leon Osman. And I don't think he scored one from further out for Everton. That is an absolute beauty, which left Joe Hart just standing and staring as it sails past him into the top corner of his net.
What a goal that was. Leon Osman against Manchester. You remember that one, Sharpie?
I do, I do. It was, I think it was the last time we won there, was it?
Last time beat City. Yeah,
it's had some good games against City. You know, I'm looking forward to the one at the weekend. You know, obviously, they come as...
They're always good games, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but they come as big, big favourites, and rightly so. They've started the season really, really well. Got some fantastic players in there. Just signed another one. But, you know, these are the games that players love to play. And if I was an Everton player today, I'd be looking forward to Man City coming to Goodison. You know, it's a game that you'd be up for. You know, nobody expects you to get anything from the game. So I'm really looking forward to it.
But Ozzy won't be playing, will he?
I think it would be hard for him to change the team after the after the result he got at Southampton. You know, obviously the situation with Coney, who did relatively well down there again, and playing with Lukaku more from a wide position. So I think it would be very difficult for the manager to change it. But in saying that, he has changed it and he surprises a few times. But well, I think he'll probably go with the team that got the result at Southampton.
Play in the same way, Graham, on the counter?
Well, I would say all day long, because you know for a fact that Man City are going to dominate possession. They've got some fabulous players. My favourite player in the Premier League, David Silva, in there. you know, we're pulling the strings. But they, and Aguero, they're a fantastic. So I think we'll have to do the same. I think they'll have the majority of possession. We need to sit back and invite them on and maybe hit them on the break again. I know it's not what you want to do when you're playing at home, but sometimes you have to do that. And I think it's going to be a case of, you know, we'll have to defend very, very well. And hopefully when we do hit them in the break, we can hurt them. But in saying that, defensively, they've tightened up. You know, I think Company looks like the player he has been over the last few years. Last year was disappointing for him. He had a few injury problems, but he started the season really, really well. So this will be a big ask for his countryman, Lukaku. Mm. We saw his performance at Southampton. We thought, you need to do that week in, week out, you know, regularly do that to be, you know, top, top player. He's up against his countryman, at the weekend, and he's got to show it against him as well, but it'll be difficult. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Gary Gillespie's in alongside Sharpie today for Aldo, who's absent just for this evening and Monday. Just before we speak to Gary, I was on a cruise ship in the summer. Walked into a bar on the top deck of the cruise ship called Dizzy's.
All right, yeah.
And I thought, I wonder why this is called Dizzy's. And there is a statue of Dizzy Gillespie with his trumpet.
Yeah. Did you know that? You know there was a trombonist that like that?
Yeah,
Dizzy
I did.
Glasgow, yeah.
But I wondered whether it was going to be it was called Dizzy's Bar. So anyway, Dizzy is with us tonight.
Yeah, Dizzy. Yeah.
Just to change the subject slightly.
Where is he going with this?
I don't know. I'm not sure where he was going with that. Like, but there you go. Yeah.
So where did you go on your cruise? You might as well get the whole lot out.
It just reminded me of Gary Gillespie, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, Dizzy.
Good man.
Oh.
Dizzy Gillespie.
All right.
I had a few nicknames. That was one of the better ones, to be honest. Yeah.
Right. Just before we talk more on Liverpool, Lizzie Doyle's been out taking some questions from fans around the city. That's Lizzie from Radio City. Mm. And the first one asks, what young players do the lads think will come through this season and how Liverpool should line up against Arsenal?
So I'm Justin Hayton and I've come across Mike, who is a diehard Red. What's your question, Mike?
Do you think in the game against Arsenal, I think it'd be better to go with four in midfield, pushing Coutinho further forwards and playing Ings up front with Benteke to give the extra protection against the Arsenal attack?
Well, Mike, I'm not so sure of that because I don't see how you strengthen your midfield by pushing another one up front and playing Coutinho in like what would probably be a 4-4-2. I know like he would probably try and play the diamond. I think what Brendan tries to do, he tries to dominate that area when he's away from home by playing two defensive kind of minded midfield players as opposed to just one. I think when he does maybe at home and he pushes two forward. So depending on Henderson's fit and much has been made about Lucas. The questions about Lucas whether he's staying or not. He might be off to Besiktas. I've heard. I thought he was off last season to Inter Milan. So his future is very much in doubt. But it might be an opportunity for him to re-establish himself again in the starting lineup at Arsenal if Henderson's not available. But I would like to think that he'll play the two holding midfield players. And maybe play three in front of them with just the one up front. But I do like the idea of playing Ings, personally. Ings and Benteke up front. I think Ings's movement of Benteke could be very fruitful
for
Liverpool.
But the game has to be right for that.
But the game certainly has to be right. But
if you play 4-4-2 against Arsenal, without playing in the when they've got their possession in midfield, there'll be runners all over the place. And for four midfield players will be hard for them. So I can't see Liverpool going 4-4-2, especially away at Arsenal. Maybe away from home against some other teams, but not when they've got the quality that they've got.
I think the beauty about Liverpool at this moment in time, he's got options, Brendan Rodgers. I think sometimes maybe last season we didn't have these sort of options, and you've got Firmino to come back into the side as well, who looks a player. I must admit, when this Liverpool signed him, I thought he was like a carbon copy of Coutinho. But he's certainly different from Coutinho. He certainly don't have as many touches as Coutinho. He's not as tricky as Coutinho. Certainly doesn't maybe have the same amount of pace as maybe what I thought he has. But what he does do is an ability to bring other players into the game, and he'll get himself into goal scoring positions. So I'd expect you see him scoring quite a few goals for Liverpool.
Are you feeling for Danny Ings already? People calling him the new Lambert?
Well, he's certainly not the new Lampard. I think
because he's not getting a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's going to make that comparison, but we're only two games into the season. You know, I mean, I did feel a little bit sorry for Ricky Lambert last season. He didn't get the opportunities that maybe he thought he was going to get. But I think Ings is young. I think he's in his mid 20s, isn't he? 24, I think he is, or something like that. His future is ahead of him, and I think he might have a big part to play this year for Liverpool. And as I said, I wouldn't be adverse to seeing him up alongside Benteke. I think that would be a good combination. From what I've seen so far, Ings's movement looks good for me.
Just a bit, it's interesting. It's hard to think about who actually plays two up top now.
Not many.
Very rarely.
Very few in the Premier League.
If any. Mm. I'm just trying to rack my brain here.
You might suggest that, you know, Everton down at Southampton with Coney and Lukaku, but like
he was very wide, right?
Wide of a three.
I think when you look at players or systems these days, nobody can really pigeonhole somebody being a winger or being a centre forward. Well, they're certainly, I think Benteke is a centre forward, but certainly the wide guys, I think they're just classed as front players these days as opposed to wingers. I don't see anybody dribbling up to somebody and going past anybody anymore. I've not seen that for a long time, to be honest with you.
So formations are very flexible.
I think
the 4-4-2 has gone out the window. I think it's now 4-2-3-1 or whatever you want to do. 4-1-4-1, whatever you want to do. I just think that 4-4-2 and as strikers, we used to love having a partner, you know, play alongside somebody. You look through all the years that we've all played in Liverpool as well, and Rushie and Kenny and people that kind of thing. You had a partnership, you know, and that was great when you had that. But now to play up front on your own is really, really difficult, you know. And we talk about Benteke being, you know, a fantastic target man where his touch is good and his hold up play is excellent. Lukaku is a different type. He needs to improve. He's younger, he needs to improve in his hold-up play, but he gives you a threat going the other way. So it's a really tough job. You know, it's not. I don't envy them at all. Definitely not.
I think so much of the game, the modern day game, is played within the middle third of the pitch. That you need bodies in there to, you know, to have some sort of say and some sort of sway and influence in there.
Transfer window still open, as we well know. Everton looking to add to their squad. Roberto Martinez has said he certainly wants to strengthen before the window shuts, and strong links today with Yarmolenko to the extent that it appears Everton have agreed a fee, but that doesn't really mean a lot when you're dealing with a Ukrainian club like Dynamo Kiev, because they will drive a very hard bargain, and the player himself has got to negotiate personal terms. But if he does come in, Yarmolenko, he's only 25. We've seen him, Graham, in a couple of games last season against Everton. He played well.
Yeah.
He'd be an asset, would he?
Yeah, all day long. I think we need more players, as simple as that. And I just hope he doesn't, if he does come in, he's more successful than Billy Letdinov. You know, Billy Letdinov came in, you know, full of high hopes for him, and he didn't really...
I used to hate him because I could never say his name.
Billy,
when I was doing radio commentary, he was an absolute nightmare to pronounce.
David Moyes couldn't say his name.
No, so as I say, I hope he's if he does come in, I think he will be more of a success. I think he played against us in Kiev, scored a wonder goal, great left foot. You know, he can see a pass. You know, Roberto's been saying he's looking for a number 10. Could this guy play that number 10 role? I think he could. He'll be in just in
behind. There's so many hoops to jump through.
Yeah, of course
there is. You know, to sign players, you've got to like please agents, you've got to please the football clubs, you've got to please the player himself. And
by all accounts, he says he's had his time at Kiev and he'd like to try a different challenge. You know, the Premier League is the best so far, or so-called, in the world. He wants to come here. Liverpool were linked with him a couple of years ago. So he's got a pedigree, you know. So I think he'd be a good addition. One that I think the fans... would accept and be excited about.
And how much do you know about Ramiro Funes Mori?
Same as you, Al. I don't know. He's been like known for a long, long while as a centre back in Argentina. Listen, that was a priority. Letting Alcaraz and Destan go in the summer, two experienced players. Okay, they didn't really have a lot of game time, you know, in the latter part. You know, Alcaraz was in and out, had injury problems. Silvan kind of had a falling out and was left out, but. We needed that, you know. If anything happened to John Stones, just say for instance, John Stones left, all we could rely on really would be young Tyus Browning, who, listen, has done really, really well and is a good defender and he's got a really good future. But it would be a big ass to ask Tyus to come in and play week in, week out in the Premier League. So I think that the centre back was, you know, it was imperative that we brought one in. And now if this boy comes over, obviously the manager's seen, I don't know a lot about him, but You know, I think he's an Argentinian international. I think he's only got, one cap or something.
He's only 24, yeah. He's only got a cap.
But a good age.
You play for River Plate in Argentina, you've got to be a solid sort of defender. You've got to be able to mix it as well over
there. Well, a good age in the age that he's wanting to build a team around. We talk about, you know, he's bringing in a lot of younger players now. When you look at the age of Lukaku and Coleman, McCarthy, people like that, you know, these two would fit into that jigsaw as well.
Yeah, and rest assured, Everton have obviously been looking at him for a while. It's not someone that's just been plucked from obscurity. You can rest assured they've been looking at these players for a while. It doesn't just happen.
Although some would not believe that.
Yes, some would not believe
that. I think all the football clubs, you know, they've got these... Well, it doesn't. It's not called scouting system anymore. Recruitment, isn't it? Yeah, recruitment. Yeah. But you know, from the end of the last season, there have been people looking at everybody, and you know, it's not like it's not off the cuff. That.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people tweeting in, despite Sharpie's hatred of Twitter. I don't think hatred's the right word, is it?
But yes, it is.
Annoyance at times. Carl has said, "Do you think there'll be any last-minute signings made by Liverpool or Everton?" Well, whether last-minute or not, I think Roberto Martinez made it clear the areas he wanted to strengthen. As far as Liverpool are concerned, though, Gary, are they done and dusted in terms of Cummings in?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think what you probably will see, if there is people still to come in, I think there's certainly people to go out before people will come in. I think when you look at the way that the Americans have done their business and Brendan's done their business, they tend to balance the books, well, not 100% balance of books, but you know, they don't spend as much money as what you think. I think we've spent something like 79 million quid or something like that in the transfer window, but that's been overset by, like, obviously the transfer for
the net spending.
So, like, that, I think that's what they look at. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if one or two move out the door, then I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody else coming.
The problem with that is getting one or two out the door, you know. Yeah, but that, you're looking at Balotelli and Barini, you know, and you're looking at that and you're thinking, yeah, it'd be great. And we've had this discussion last week about why, if you know you're not going to play, do you sit there? And it's obviously money. It's money issues kind of thing. But for me, young players of that age have got to go out and play. Balotelli, Barini, get out and play.
Balotelli's still a young man, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah,
they're both young. Yeah. I think Barini was an example last season. I think everybody thought that he was going to go to Sunderland. He had such a successful time up there on loan. Everybody thought he was going. I think they were offering something like £12 million or something like that. But he couldn't agree personal terms, or he said he wanted to stay at Liverpool and fight for his place at Liverpool.
And there was a rumoured move to Queen's Park Rangers.
I moved to Queen's Park Rangers as well. But again, he chose to stay at Liverpool. And as Sharpie says, why would that be? I mean,
I don't mind that, Gary, because last year, if he was fighting for his place and he wanted to go in and play and he had that hunger. But if the man just turned around to him and said, listen, you know, we appreciate what you've done, but listen, under no circumstances are you going to be in the squad. You're going to have to train with the reserves and that. Now, for your own pride, you say, listen, I need to go and play somewhere else. You know, and that's a difficult Liverpool have got at this moment in time.
Just on the tweets coming in as well, Kirsty from Woolton has said, this is one you touched on before. If Lucas leaves, will Emre Can take on a new defensive midfield role, or will Joe Allen return to that position? I think Joe Allen's struggling with injury.
Well, I think he's got a hamstring. He had a hamstring in the Swindon game, which has put him out. I think Emre Can, I think everybody, when he signed, was expecting him to be the next holding midfield player. I can't see him playing there. He had obviously that spell playing at centre-back and full-back occasionally last season. Didn't look too great at fullback. No. Did okay at centre back, but I wouldn't say that he was as reliable for like a whole season at that centre back. You would have to play him if you played three centre backs. You couldn't play in a flat back four, I don't think. So I think he might be the answer. He might be the way forward. I mean, Lucas has had so much bad luck at the football club. You know, just when he was really in his pomp, he got that bad injury against Chelsea. He had just won the fans over. He was playing probably the best football of his career. Gets injured, and then he's playing catch up after that. And then again, when he comes back into the side, he gets injured again. Yeah. Unfortunately for the kid, but you know, like if there's ever an example, like you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Yeah. Lucas is the man, and I think if he was to leave the football club, Liverpool fans would give him a great send-off because, you know, he's just a lovely fella. I mean, I work obviously for the TV company, and he'll do anything for you, and he's very polite and very forthcoming with his interviews and everything like that. And you can, I think the fans sense that as well. So it'd be a sad loss, but if he wants to go and further his career, which I think he probably he might need to, then pasture's new for him, maybe. Yeah.
And Sophie from Anfield has also said on the Twitter feed, two clean sheets in a row for Liverpool. Will it take a mistake before Sacco is even considered again? I suppose, well, that's what, as Graeme said earlier, you don't change a winning team, I suppose. So.
You don't, but Liverpool, you know, I think the schedule's been there for many years. I think the Lovren's in there now. I think he had a few critics in the first season, Gary.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, without any shadow of
a doubt, and Sacco came in as well. When I watched Sacco coming in, I thought, oh, this is an accident waiting to happen as well with some of the things, his decision-making. But he seemed to come on into a game as well. So, listen, he's another important player for them. But whether they keep him, Gary said the five-year contract.
Yeah, so I think it's been offered, yeah.
I think one thing about what Brendan's done, and he's done that with a lot of players, that when players have come in and done well, he's stopped by them. He did it with Sacco. When Sacco got on the side, he stopped with Sacco. You've got to remember as well, 18 months ago, Martin Skirtle was out in the wilderness. There was talk about him leaving the football club.
And now he's first-choice centre-back.
And now he's first-choice centre-back. So if you come in and do the stuff for him, or do, you know, and perform well, and the team's like playing well, then I think you're well within your right to hold your place down. He'll have his work cut out, Sacco, to get back in just now.
Great stuff. The legends are with us here at the top of the Radio City Tower, Gary Gillespie and Graeme Sharp, who are now going to get their heads round the predictions for the weekend and the charity bets coming next.
Graeme Sharp and John Aldridge, the legends.
Radio City Sport.
So a penalty to Liverpool, and would you believe it, Gary Gillespie, who scored two goals already this afternoon, has been called forward from defence to take it. Surely Gary Gillespie's first ever penalty had a chance to make it 5-0 to Liverpool against Birmingham. Here he goes, he's scored as well. Great cheer goes round the cop around Anfield for Gary Gillespie's hat-trick. Scored from the penalty spot. Liverpool are on course and are flowing towards that title.
A stupid question, but is that your one and only hat-trick, Gary?
One and only.
Dug deep for that one, haven't you?
Hey. Don't score too many. That was the year we did the double, I think it was, yeah.
And was it your first ever penalty, as was mentioned in the
commentary? You know what? I can't remember, to be honest with you. Is that far ago?
No, it couldn't have been your own first penalty.
Probably not. I've taken a penalty, yeah. First at Liverpool.
Yes.
David Seaman was the goalkeeper, by the way. Just a quality
keeper to beat.
Yeah. Got his fingertips to it. Fractured.
Not enough.
Fractured his finger. Like,
yeah.
A 5-0 victory.
5-0. They were already relegated, Birmingham. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was.
So what year was that?
86.
It was a double 86, year. Double 86. Year.
April 86.
Yeah, the double year.
Yeah. is that where you had 11 wins out of 12 in the last?
Come on, move on. Yeah, we've got the bets to go here.
We have got our charity bets.
You just missed out. <didn't> you?
And charity bets means Dale Tempest from Sky Bet is waiting patiently on the line, listening to that wonderful debate. Dale, how are you?
I'm very well. Yourself? Evening, gents.
All right, Dale.
Yeah, really good.
Dale, what's the odds for a centre back to score a hat trick at the weekend?
Oh, come on. Oh dear, yeah. Any price you want. They don't score hat tricks anymore.
They don't score anymore.
They don't allow them over the halfway line. They're too dangerous.
Correct.
They certainly wouldn't have them taking penalties these days, that's for sure.
No, you're spot on. But you can give us a few other odds, because the big talking points of the week have been John Stones, of course. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? You must have some odds for the latest.
Yeah, we've been betting on this for a while. It's quite an interesting one because, as I say, several years ago when we started doing this, it quickly became apparent it's only fair to have the price on him to stay as well. So we've always bet with him to stay now. So he's 1-2 to go to Chelsea, 6-4 to stay at Everton. Now that price has fluctuated backward and forward all week. 1 minute it's 1-2 he stays, the next minute 6-4 he goes, then it's 10-11 each of two. You know, your guess is as good as mine. I don't think anybody knows. Was it 30 million the last bid?
Is anyone
like
putting
that?
Any money on it, more importantly?
Well, they're backing both sides. That's the thing. You know, there's not huge confidence. What will happen as soon as something, we'll suddenly see 20 bets on the bounce, all for one side. And they'll be from somewhere in the country or be people who work for agents or something or other. You get so many rumours now with message boards and Twitter and everything, that you quickly see it. When it suddenly goes, it'll go quickly, and we'll all know suddenly it's back on. You know, if Chelsea came in with 35 million, I think, was it 30 supposedly the last bid, then it probably looks like it'd be difficult for Everton to turn it down. But at the moment, you know, it's very, very close.
Well, Gary Gillespie's more concerned with Monday night and Liverpool at Arsenal. Can they keep a clean sheet for the third successive game? Odds on that, Dale?
It'd be impressive, wouldn't it, if they did? 9-2 to keep a clean sheet. Basically, Arsenal not to score, so 4.5-1. That's not the worst in the world. No. Liverpool only allowed, what was it, 3 shots against them, sort of on target in the last first two games. So Opta tell us anyway. But it's one of those things, isn't it? You know, I mean, Liverpool looking to work. Henderson's a big loss, isn't he? If he's not going to make it for the weekend, the way he trudged off, that was pretty depressing for Liverpool fans. 17-2, they win to nil. So they actually, that's 8.5-1, that they actually go on, take all 3 points and to keep a clean sheet. Something to consider. But yeah, it's a tough one. Arsenal, when they're at their best, are really tough to stop at the Emirates. I think Liverpool, was it 1 win in the last 14 trips there? Yeah. You know, so it is tough for them. But it's that first real test, isn't it? You know, Stoke was a sort of just get there after the 6-1 drubbing, you know, at the end of the season. Get there, get out and get something. Professional against Bournemouth. This is where, I suppose, Liverpool fans really get the measure of whether they're going to be contending at the top this year.
Yeah, more importantly, dear, move on to the blue half. What's the odds on Everton beating City?
Well, it's 18-5, so just over 3-1. I suppose a week ago, Everton fans would have been just no chance. They're doom and gloom down there. But of course, nobody really saw the 3-0 win at Southampton coming. Lukaku in form. Barkley's got 2-2. That's equaled his tally for the whole of last season. And City, I'm sure Everton fans know this, and you'll know this, Sharpie.
Yeah.
They've got an awful record at Goodison.
They have.
Yeah, I think they've 1-6, 3-18. But you look at Aguero, I mean, how sharp does he look?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If you can keep Aguero quiet, then you've got a chance. But
then you've got to keep Silva quiet, and then you've got to keep the other one Sterling quiet.
The one thing now, they look like they've settled for this one up front, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, the 5 in midfield, Silva as the 10. Oh. And their issue's always been this, Yaya can't play in a 4-4-2, and, you know, Silva on the left drifting in. When you lose the ball, you're all over the place. Now, even at West Brom, when they took Boney off, it was Aguero back in, still one up front, no change there. Oh. So City could be much more solid this season. 2 clean sheets, 6 goals, 6 points, I suppose. Mm. Pellegrini, he'll be quite pleased with himself at the moment.
Just a little bit. Listen, dear, let's go on to this charity bet and see if you can win some money.
He's the only man who's got it so far.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've gone for the 3 I've gone for this week are in League One. I've got Gillingham to beat Wigan.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like Gillingham. 4-0 winners against Sheffield United first day. Yeah, I really do like that. They're one of mine for the weekend.
Okay, and then I've got Sheffield United to beat Blackpool, which I think is a nap.
Yeah, that's a short price. You're looking for that one. No surprises, say, the way things are falling apart at Blackpool there. You're looking at 2-5, but the winner's a winner if he goes in.
Yeah, is that and my last one, I've gone down to League Two, Portsmouth to beat Morecambe.
Oh, Portsmouth beat Morecambe. I think they let a lot of people down midweek at Crawley, didn't they, with that 0-0 draw there. A lot of punters were on that one. But, yeah, you'd expect Portsmouth to take care of them. They're 8-13. But no, that's a nice little treble there. Fingers crossed that one comes.
Okay, fingers crossed for me, Dale.
Dale, if you can get the predictions right, then I've got every chance because he's absolutely hopeless at gambling. So, like, I'll tell you what I've gone for. I've gone to the Championship, QPR to beat Rotherham at home, obviously.
Yeah, I like that one. I mean, QPR coming back from 2 goals down at Wolves in midweek, that's got to give them some confidence, and Rotherham on the ropes. Yeah, 3-4 the price there.
Yeah. And I've gone against Sharpie here because I fancy Wigan to beat Gillingham. I know that they've started the season poorly, Wigan, but they had a great result midweek. And I was with Gary Caldwell pre-season in La Manga, and he said that they've got a big season ahead of them. So, like, I've gone for Wigan.
A few beers.
It was after a few beers.
The fact they were pre-season in La Manga says a lot about the start, really, doesn't it?
So I've gone for Wigan to beat Gillingham.
Okay. Right, and the third one?
And I've stayed in the League One, and I've gone back to my old stomping ground, Coventry to beat Walsall at Walsall.
Coventry to beat Walsall. Well, Coventry are just flying at the moment. The crowd's coming back, everybody's getting it. Walsall actually had a decent start. And you're getting 11-5. That's just over 2-1 for Coventry.
Yeah, well, my old mucker, Tony Mowbray, manager, he's doing a good job down there, so fingers crossed he can get the result.
He certainly is. Well, that'd be a nice treble. Well, fingers crossed, gents, we get both of those in for the weekend. It'd be good to build on our 450 tally we've got so far.
Yeah.
Great.
Cheers,
stuff, Dale.
Dale.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Dale Tempest
Brilliant.
With the charity bets. And we'll see how the lads get on over the course of the weekend, of course. And Dale will be back next week when the lads make their predictions for the following weekend's football. But it's time to turn our attention to their weekend predictions for the Premier League game. Sharpies in front here, leading by 7-6 after the first 2 weeks. So we're going to take you through game by game, Sharpie, and see what you're going for. Man United and Newcastle.
I'm going to go for a home win.
Yeah, straightforward enough. Palace, Villa.
I'm going to go for a home win.
Hmm. Do we want Gary's? Let's see Gary's on Man United Newcastle first.
I think Man United have started so lucky, and I think the luck can continue. I've gone Man United to beat Newcastle. And Crystal Palace, Aston Villa. I just think that Aston Villa will get something out of this game under Sherwood. I think I've gone for a draw.
So a draw there. Leicester v Tottenham. Sharpie?
I've gone for a draw. I think Leicester are bombing.
Yeah.
I think there'll be goals in that one.
I think everybody's waiting for like Leicester's bubble to bust. I don't think it's going to bust. I'm going for like a home win, Leicester, to beat Tottenham.
Let's rattle through them. Norwich, Stoke.
I've gone for Stoke, away from home.
Away win, Gary.
I think you might be right, but I've gone for a draw.
Sunderland, Swansea.
I think Sunderland are in turmoil so early in the season. You know, people think about Defoe wanting away. I've gone for a Swansea away victory.
Away win.
I've gone for the same. Can't see any other result, to be honest with you.
West Ham, Bournemouth.
Draw for me.
Home win for me. I think the Happy Hammers will win.
Okay, let's get on to the big ones. Sunday, let's get West Brom-Chelsea out of the way.
I've got to go Chelsea.
I think you've got to go Chelsea.
And Everton-Man City, Graham.
Draw.
Talk about sitting in the face. I've gone Man City. They've started
to see. That's a surprise, isn't it?
And there is another game Sunday, Watford-Southampton.
I've gone for a draw.
I've gone Watford. I think Southampton... Europa League in the midweek. I think that might take its toll.
And on to Monday, Arsenal versus Liverpool.
Only one result, Arsenal, all day long. Five but four.
There you go. And guess what I've gone for?
Draw.
I'll draw.
Brilliant, lads. Well, we'll see exactly how you get on. We're looking forward to a weekend of football. Our local team's not involved tomorrow, but Sunday, Everton versus Manchester City. Monday, Arsenal versus Liverpool. So Tranmere Rovers also in action, of course, tomorrow. They're at home tomorrow against Forest Green. Who are they playing tomorrow? Boreham Wood. They're playing tomorrow.
Boreham Wood.
Yeah,
that's a new
Boreham
one,
Wood
isn't
at
it?
Home. Right. Brilliant, Sharpie. Brilliant, Gary. Thanks for standing in for Aldo.
My pleasure.
Don't forget, Saint and Snot is back tomorrow. The Legends, of course, are back on Monday evening. We'll be live on the air from the top of the Radio City Tower, bang on 6:30.
Monday and Friday at 6:30, an hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City Sport.